In the name of Jesus, amen. So it's the holiday season. As you're probably aware, this is Advent. Advent means arrival. If you're tracking with our readings and songs today, they all are about different stages of the arrival of Jesus, either getting ready or the arrival of Jesus in our gospel reading for his final passion and death on the cross, or the final arrival of Jesus on the last day. We get ready to receive the gift of Jesus. And if you think about gift giving, right? There are different stages of that gift giving. There's the finding the gift, preparing the gift for a loved one. There's the giving of the gift. And there's the reflection and the living with the gift. In some ways, that sums up the gift of Jesus at Advent pretty well. You know, it can be hard to find a good and meaningful gift to give a loved one, especially one who seems to not need anything. Are you one of those stubborn people? Oh, just don't give me anything. I don't need it. What to give them, right? They say they don't want anything. Maybe you're like this. Sometimes I can be. Yet out of love, we still want to give that gift, don't we? We still want to give an authentic gift. We want a surprise. We want the goodness of the gift received. Don't we want a gift from the heart? Finding and giving that special Christmas gift for the one who has enough, who doesn't need anything, I think matches our second reading today pretty well from 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. In our reading today from 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul inquires of Christians in Thessalonica, a diverse city in the Greek Empire at the time of the Roman Empire in Greece today. He asks them this. He asks them, you could think of it, a gift question. What is lacking in your faith? Paul had spent a lot of time with them preparing the gift of Jesus, giving the gift of Jesus. They had more than enough. And yet Paul asked towards the end of this book of 1 Thessalonians, what is lacking in your faith? Paul and his companions went to pray for their fellow Christians, sisters and brothers in Thessalonica, to provide for them a meaningful, authentic, lasting gift of faith. 1 Thessalonians, if you open up the Bible, it's kind of hard to find. It's one of the earliest books of the New Testament. It's a book written to Christians who were established early on in the Christian faith, very early. Paul writes the book of 1 Thessalonians to inform these Christians that Christ will return soon. Christ has died, he's risen, he'll come again. And Paul writes that God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ would establish their hearts in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus and his saints. The Christians of the New Testament era, Christians in Thessalonica, were waiting for the final advent, the arrival of Jesus Christ, the return of Christ in glory. And waiting can be challenging. There was hardship in the community. There was sickness. There was stubbornness. There was even death. They prayed for those who were sick and dying. Come, Lord Jesus. Don't leave us here. Paul informs them that Christ will soon return, and Paul encourages them by asking, what is it lacking in your faith? Paul says this, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy we feel for your sake before our God, that we may pray most earnestly day and night, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. It's kind of a strange way to end a letter in some ways. You read the first part of the letter of 1 Thessalonians. You read the Gospels, you see, right, that our faith is full, is it not? If you don't think it is, that's not the proper view of faith. Faith in Scripture is connected to Jesus Christ. Faith in Scripture is living and active. It's a trust that knows not the no of death, but the yes of eternal life. That is faith in Scripture that stands up for Jesus who has arisen for us.
Our gospel reading recounts how Jesus rides into Jerusalem under persecution and eventual death to stand up in glory on the cross, to draw all people to himself, to reconcile this world to God through his death and sacrifice. That we may believe in that and be connected to that, Jesus Christ, what he has done. All that Christ has done for us. Faith in Christ is living and active. And while we sort of grow older and perhaps even sometimes a little less active, faith is lively. And faith endures. Faith in Christ receives all things that Christ does for us. Faith in Christ is living trust in Jesus Christ. And Christians way back in ancient Thessalonica had this living faith in Jesus. They persisted, this small group they were. They were forgiven. They were receivers of eternal life. They were fearless, strengthened by all that Christ does. And we also, that book is written for you and me, recorded in Scripture, God's living word, that we have this living faith. Contemporary New York, a secular city, standing firm in Jesus Christ, receiving eternal life, strengthened by all that Christ does for us. And since we have all this, all that Christ does, his death, our life, his forgiveness, our peace, strength for each day, what then, what is it that's lacking in our faith? What is it exactly? That's what Paul says at the end of a sermon like this in 1 Thessalonica. God wants to provide even what's lacking. What to give to someone who has it all, who has everything, who says, I don't need anything else. Isn't that just like us as Christians? We have everything in Jesus Christ. We've got it all. And if you don't think that, you've got a very small view of faith. When faith looks like this, all the way to the endless horizon of eternal life. That's the view of faith. That is living and active. What then is lacking in our faith? There are material needs, right? We usually start there. We're material people. The stuff of this life. Yeah, what does Scripture say there? It's actually right in the heart of the gospel message. Our Heavenly Father knows that we need it. He provides it. There it is. He provides way more than we need. We have emotional needs, discerning the heart, feelings of restless hearts, but the Lord enlarges our hearts. The Lord calms our hearts. The Lord gives steadfast love forever, does he not? Material, emotional, salvation. What more is there? That's what God's words ask us today. What more is there? Where do you feel that something is missing in our lives with God and with others? What keeps you back? What keeps me back? What keeps us back from a more fulfilling and faithful life of following Christ? This is the challenge. You know, probably by looking at me, you could figure out that I've never run a marathon. I have not. But I have written a book. It's been a kind of marathon of the mind for me. I think the same challenges apply to writing a book as they do to the Christian life or running a marathon, so I've been told. In writing a book, at least, you have all the tools you need, right? I had it all. It was here. There was a lot done before, research. It was all done. It was all there on my desk. Yet in the end, why was it so hard to finish that book, to complete that substantial project, which I had all the tools to do? I lacked nothing, and yet it sort of took everything to finally finish that book. We lack nothing in order to finish. Yet we still need faith and commitment. Think of any difficult challenge or project that you've done, that we've done. Don't we have the skills and abilities? We lack nothing as far as what is needed, as far as tools to complete the challenge. And yet in the end, when the going gets tough and we grow impatient and distraction sets in, it takes focus and commitment to stay the course. Keeping our faith in Christ, that's our challenge as Christians. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in our second reading. The Lord, we pray, would make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints, that we may abound in love, that our hearts would be established in holiness before God our Father at the arrival, at the coming of Jesus Christ, that we keep faith in Christ. There are many distractions this time of year. They can all pull us away from what we're preparing for, ironically, from a heart that's in faith in Jesus, to his birth, the Savior. Keep the faith in Christ. Paul tells us, stay connected to Christ. There are many challenges from Christmas to Christmas. Each season passes on. Each year there's good times, there's bad times. Challenges that can actually lead us away from Christ and his enduring strength to save. Every Advent, keep the faith. Stay connected in Christ. Be firm and committed. Go that extra mile. We have all the power and strength and tools we need. We have peace and well-being. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the provisions of daily life, all through God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. What more? Come on, what more do we really need? What is lacking in our faith? Explore the heart, examine what exactly is holding us back from full and complete trust in Jesus Christ. That's what God's Word asks us today. God's living and active Word to produce and sustain a living faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God wants to fill whatever is lacking. He's a filler. God's a giver. That's what God does. He wants to give grace upon grace and provision upon provision and wisdom and focus and commitment. Every good and perfect gift, Scripture says, comes from our God, Father above. All in Christ, the center of our faith. To keep that faith in Christ, to stay connected to Christ, in this difficult challenge of life, in this difficult marathon of life, in this difficult project we call of life, we've got the skills, we've got the abilities, we lack nothing as far as what we need in Christ to complete the challenge set before us of faith. In the end, when the going gets tough, and it will. And when the impatience threatens, and it's there, it takes the focus and the commitment of faith in Christ to stay the course. Amen.